there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Fantasy Pros NFL Draft Special. I am your host, Thor Nystrom, and today I'm going to be grading the NFC's draft classes with my good friend, Chad Ryder of NFL.com. You can find Chad on Twitter at Chad_Ryder. Chad, have you decompressed from draft weekend yet?
Slightly. I've gone into reflective mode, at least at this point, you know, writing a couple articles and just kind of thinking about what happened. Because, you know, in the moment, it's hard to, it's just all a blur, you know. But yeah, I'm getting there, brother, getting there.
Yeah, now that we have the draft classes for each one of these teams, let's dive in and see what we thought. We'll go in alphabetical order today with the NFC, and so we'll just knock them out one by one. Let's start with the Arizona Cardinals. Chad, what grade did you give the Cardinals, and how did you think they did overall?
I thought they did pretty darn well. In fact, they're one of my top five teams in the draft, because I think they got a lot of value. I'm trying to pull up their grade right now, so if it sounds like I'm stalling, that's absolutely what I'm doing right now. So just hang tight with me for a second, because my computer is being a pain. But no, I loved what they did. I absolutely loved that they get a future pick, you know, out of the Paris Johnson, the trades earlier. Ojulari in the second, great move. Love Garrett Williams as a second-round player with a third-round pick just because of the injury. Kytrell Clark later in the draft, Owen Pappo later in the draft. I mean, they did a lot of really good things.
Yeah, so like you're mentioning, they got Houston's first round pick next year. And, in that first trade where they trade down from the third slot with the Texans, that's obviously a good move. Next year's class of Caleb Williams and Drake May at the top, that pick is going to be very valuable. Even if you're going to roll it forward with Kyler Murray, you can just trade that thing for a metric ton, assuming that the Texans are bad next year, which fully expect them to be. Certainly the Cardinals will too, so their own pick is going to be valuable as well. They also, during draft day trade, picked up Tennessee's third rounder next year, and they got Philly's fourth rounder next year, that tampering deal or whatever, finishing out that transaction. Yeah. They pick up them three picks. The picks they made in the slots they did, I was a little bit lower on it than you. They trade up to go and get Paris Johnson at six. And you like the new administration moving down the board, moving up the board. You like to see that. But like, was my only question with that was the difference between, let's just say, Paris Johnson and Broderick Jones, was that worth what you gave up in that trade to go and get Paris Johnson? He better be appreciably better than Broderick Jones in the NFL for that trade to work out. Arizona, obviously a team that has holes all over the roster. And then like some of the, like Garrett Williams, that thing is all going to be health dependent, right? Like you mentioned, he was available on the discount. Obviously his knee needs to be okay and stuff like that. Their favorite pick that they made from my perspective was Michael Wilson in the third round. I was a big fan of that kid. You don't see that combination of deceleration into a route break and then the acceleration out of it from a receiver as big as Michael Wilson. The Senior Bowl, they do the tracking there. Only two players, regardless of position, finished top 20 in max speed by the Zebra tracking and top five in deceleration, regardless of position. The only, so is Michael Wilson was one of them. The other one is Trey Palmer, who's a physical freak. So I love Wilson's ability to slam on those brakes, cut the clean corner. He consistently, and then accelerate out of that break, consistently open up the throwing windows for the quarterback. I was a little bit lower on it, Chad. You know, I grade on the curve, so I give out some of the lower grades. I gave Arizona a D+, just judging their picks in the slots that they got them. But you have to add in the fact that they got those picks for next year. Not really included in my grade, but you know, you tick them up a little bit for that. And they will be enormous players in next year's draft. I think they have the most equity in it right now. So that's something to watch out for. Chad, moving to the Atlanta Falcons, what was your grade for them, and how'd you think they did?
I gave them A-. I really, really liked their first four picks at least. And I thought Bijan, you know, it's funny. People were putting Bijan in the 20s and, you know, mock drafts a month ago, 2 months ago. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. He's too good. I know the positional value of a top 10 pick at running back. Some people will scoff at that, and I get it, but he's, you know, a great playmaker. I think he's going to be a fantastic pro. And I talked, you know, a couple of weeks before the draft, I was telling people that Atlanta was going to have interest in him just because they're taking the players that can make their offense the best it can be. And I think he was it at that position, and they weren't going to take Jalen Carter. So I think I love that pick. I love Bergeron in the second round. I knew he would be the guy that somebody would trade up for in the second round because of his versatility. Zach Harrison is exactly like the kind of Saints defensive end that would bring over to, and Clark Phillips, you just put him in the slot immediately and he's going to start day one. So love those picks. And overall, I thought the Falcons did a really good job.
The Falcons stole Clark Phillips in round four. Like, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, you understand that the frame and the athleticism was just, you know, okay. Yeah. But like, that kid on tape is one of the best corners in this class. And yeah, you're going to have to play him in the slot. Good luck getting away from him. NFL slot receivers, you're not shaking that kid.
Yeah, he was going to be a fourth the whole time just because of those, you know, physical limitations. We see it every year, but he's clearly an excellent player that won't back down from anybody. And he's going to make plays. He's instinctual. Again, you know, D. Alford's not going to be able to keep him out of that slot job.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. The Bijan pick, like I had him 17th on my big board. They took him 8, but obviously he's one of the best prospects to come out of that position in the last decade. So You get that. I dinged him a little bit for that. Like, not an enormous criticism of mine. And certainly, we're going to get back to this with the Detroit Lions, but like there was other teams that were interested in taking him in the top 10. The Bergeron pick, I thought that, so it, this is one where you got to bake in the context, because I thought they went just a little bit above his import. Like, I had him 53, but with Bergeron, you mentioned the versatility, which is a really good point, because like if he doesn't hack it at right tackle, you can fail him down the spectrum. He's going to be a good guard in the NFL, if not tackle. And then the other thing was that offensive line class was about to drop off a shelf. So you almost had to do that, and they did. And then I loved what you said about the next two picks. I was a fan of Zach Harrison, ridiculously long. Like, he's got the Inspector Gadget arms, and he's got some skill as well. I comped him to Clelin Ferrell, who a couple years ago went way, way higher in the draft. And then Clark Phillips, obviously. I thought Atlanta did an above-average job in this draft, so I ended up giving them a C+. Moving on to the next one, Chad, Carolina Panthers. What did you think about what they did?
Well, I'm glad they took Bryce Young and not Will Levis to start off.
Yes.
So they made the right call there. Mingo the Merciless, I think, second round pick. That's what the value I had on him the whole time. So that was a good pick. DJ Johnson, I might have waited on him a little bit more. I think he's more of a project. But, you know, look, third round, edge rusher's kind of tailing off a little bit in terms of value at that point. So I get it. Man, I love Saval. I didn't trust myself enough in that evaluation. It's so hard when nobody else is talking about a guy to really stick with it. But I thought, honestly, he's like the day three version of Zion Johnson. He really is. And I think he's going to compete for playing time early in his career. And then Jamie Robinson, the fifth round, I get it. Not the most explosive athlete, whatever. Dude, he's going to play in the league for 10 years. I mean, he's just a talented guy. So very good job for them. And, you know, you have to – You know, you uh, you have to think about the trade and how much value did they give up and things like that. And did they, you know, getting rid of, they only end up with five selections. So some of their other trades didn't really work out. So you kind of have to bake that into the grade. I ended up giving them a B, you know, pretty average among teams overall.
Yeah. So I gave them a B minus. The Bryce Young pick, they, like you said, they made the correct call, and I loved their last two picks. I'm with you on that. Zavala, there was some whispers about his medicals. Like, we don't get all that information, but assuming that his body holds up in the NFL, that kid's a stud. And it's funny, like, one of the reasons he got overlooked earlier in his career, well, first of all, he didn't start at NC State. He had to transfer up or whatever. But when he was at NC State, he was playing next to one of the best offensive linemen in the nation, a guy named Ikem Ekwonu, who he's now going to be playing next to in Carolina. And those guys, by the way, were two sticks of dynamite every single snap. Yeah. They would just blow out that side of the line of scrimmage. So I think it's really cool that those guys are hooking up again. And then Jamie Robinson, I totally agree with that. Like, I love that kid's game. Obviously, there were some of those physical limitations that are going to depress your value a little bit, push you down the board. I thought the NFL went a little bit too far with that. But on the other end of the spectrum, one of the quibbles that I had, Jonathan Mingo, like, yeah, I mean, he obviously skyrockets late in the process. His testing was really good. He had a solid senior bowl, everything like that. On film, he doesn't move quite as well as he tested. And that's one of my questions with him is, like, you know, Jackson Dart stunk last year. And, like, you know, so it's like you can give him some contextual benefit of the doubt on a couple of different levels. But, like, there was inconsistencies his entire college career. He never had the dominant season. That's what you'd be hoping for. And for me, didn't move around like that athletic freak that he was forwarded as by his pre-draft testing. But this was a bad receiver class, and that's going to yank guys like that up. So, like,
I liked him a lot more than the guys that teams moved up for last year in the mid second round. So I thought that, you know, overall for a team that really desperately needed a physical guy on the outside, I think, you know, because that's not really DJ Chark and, you know, these other guys. I think that makes a lot of sense. So I thought it was pretty good. Yep.
And so few boundary receivers in this class. So, like, if you had a conviction on Jonathan Mingo, you almost had to take him there, regardless of what my opinion is. Moving on to the Bears. Very interesting class by the Bears. That new administration of theirs, they have their own takes on the prospect. They don't really care what the rest of us think. We'll see how it works out in the end. But what did you think about this class in particular?
Well, look, if the Bears didn't have a good draft, they'd be in really – if this draft class doesn't work out, they're going to be in a lot of trouble because they had all the opportunities with the trade down with the Panthers, with all the top picks and all the drafts. And of course they gave away Chase Claypool, or they, you know, gave away a second round pick for Chase Claypool, which was a mistake, but it was a mistake at the start, not even retroactively talking, but you know, overall they made the trade. They made two trades down to get future picks, obviously, which works in their favor. They still got the right tackle they needed. Darnell Wright was outstanding senior season and really became a player. Dexter and Pickens, they really needed to get stronger in defensive line. So they met that need early. Probably took Pickens a little bit earlier than I would. But in terms of their, you know, needs for the team and potential in those two guys, they're more potential than polished right now. But I think in their scheme, they'll be part of a rotation and they'll give them the explosion off the snap and limited snaps that they need. Tyreek Stevenson's going to start for him, I think, right away. I think that was an easy pick for them. Rashawn Johnson was, you know, he was a guy that he was called underrated so many times that he kind of became overrated, but he's a talent. And I think, you know, being next to Bijan, you're going to get overlooked. And I think he's a power. Tyler Scott in the fourth round is right value. He got pushed up for a little bit, but at the combine, it was clear he wasn't as smooth a mover as sometimes he looked like on film, like against lesser competition at times. So I think they got good value there. I think he could become something for them as an after the catch guy, deep threat guy. So that was a good pick. I love Noah Sewell. Maybe nobody else does, and that's fine. But look, that guy got asked to do a lot of different stuff at Oregon that he probably shouldn't have been doing because they didn't have anybody else to do it. If you put him in the right spot and ask him to go to the ball, get downhill, go to the ball, he's going to play for you. So Terrell Smith, good pick as well. Kendall Williamson, sort of one of these guys that didn't get a lot of talk, but just does everything well. He's going to play special teams, smart guy. So overall, I thought they did a pretty good job. You know, they took a shot on Travis Bell from Kennesaw because of the athleticism, but, you know, I don't know if he'll turn up, but overall they did pretty well. But honestly, like, if this class doesn't turn out with all the value they had, it's going to be rough go for these guys in the future.
Yeah. I gave the Bears a D, and, but like conceding, they added a lot of talent, but like in the slots that they did, in my opinion, they pulled some guys up. It started at the beginning with Darnell Wright, and I like Darnell Wright enough. I had him 16th, but taking him with a top 10 pick, because I don't think he can play left tackle in the NFL. If he proves me wrong, my ranking's wrong. But, like, I do think he's going to be a solid right tackle or a very good guard. We'll see how that goes. But the bigger reaches for me, Gervin Dexter with the next pick. I thought Stevenson was a little bit of a reach. I guess those were probably my two biggest ones. Gervin Dexter, he could be. Like, he has all the physical traits, like, he, you know, in terms of the physical dimensions, in terms of the athleticism, different stuff like that. But he's weird because he comes so slow off the ball, and then he can pop up sometimes and stuff like that. So, like, he's too physically gifted to give away the start of every rep. It's like you're in a race and Gervin Dexter's like, I'll let you have a 10-yard head start. And it's like, Gervin, can you just start at the same spot on the block as the guy you're running against? Like, and you know, he talked even about this during the pre-draft process, Gervin Dexter did, about like, I know that's a problem of mine. Like, I need to get better at it. So, you know, self-awareness, that's the first step to fixing the problem. So honestly,
you can get away with that at the high school and even the college level, but he's going to find out quick that you can't. And so it's going to be sink or swim for him. But I think him and Pickens both, they both kind of have, you know, inconsistencies in their game. But in terms of, look, this was not a great draft. It just wasn't. And so I think I had Dexter as a mid-second. I had Pickens in the third or early fourth. So, and Stevenson I had in the mid-second. So to me, they went pretty much where they were going to go. And you know, Dexter's definitely more of an upside pick. But, you know, so is Austin Johnson. So is some of these other guys that get picked in the second round that maybe weren't as consistent. Scouts, I've heard many times over the years from NFL scouts about not being as worried about inconsistency and things that can be fixed on defensive linemen, because they're going to be part of a rotation. They're not playing, you know, 70, 80 snaps a game. And you work with them when they're young and get them to really maximize their potential. So that's, I think, where they're at.
For sure. Yeah. And I will say I like their day three more. I think Roshan's going to start for them from day one. Like, what is Khalil Herbert going to keep him out of there? Is Deontay Foreman going to keep him out of there? Like for me, he's like Damian Pierce from the last class, where his touches were sort of artificially deflated in college because of things outside of their control. And now you go to the NFL, you're going to pick it up pretty quick. You're going into a really good situation where you're going to play right away. I agree with you on Sewell. Sewell was absolutely misused by Oregon. And yeah, if you just use him as the downhill thumper guy, that's what he's awesome at. So just let him do that. Just let him go and be a war daddy and go and knock heads. That's what he likes to do. My favorite pick from the Bears was Terrell Smith, the corner from Minnesota. And a part of the reason he got knocked down was because prior in his career, the first, 4 years he was on campus, whatever, he was this just like disparate set ball of clay of athletic traits, but he just hadn't figured it out. Like, the light hadn't gone on for him. So even though he was like a stud athlete, you could still burn him. Last year, like in the off season, that light went on, because last season he was awesome on the field. He goes out and he proves the athleticism that we all knew that he had. So I think he went he went almost 100 spots lower than I had him on my board. Like, I'm betting.
Really?
More.
You thought a Minnesota guy was underdrafted? Really?
I even had some Wisconsin guys in the second round on my board, Chad. You would have been surprised. Wow. But yeah, no, like, if you go just last year and then the athletic traits, if that's all you're considering with this corner class, Terrell Smith needs to be way up there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just before it was the inconsistency, but I think he fixed that stuff. We'll find out at the next level, but yeah, at that price point, in my opinion. Yeah. So jump into the Dallas Cowboys next. Chad, this was one of my least favorite classes in the NFL. What did you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I understand why you think that. I think Mazi Smith in the first round, I wouldn't have done that. I mean, for what they want, you know, in a guy, he's sort of like the Dan Williams or, you know, some of these guys that go later in the first round. So I wouldn't have made that pick, but Shoemaker is, you know, coming off the injury, probably got pushed up because of the kind of the run on tight ends and the inflation of tight. Well, and to be honest, the lack of receivers, the tight ends basically filled in the blanks where the receivers were supposed to go. And so, so not great. Look, both those guys are going to contribute for this team right away. So I didn't kill him, but but he's going to play. Overshown's going to play for him. And he's kind of that Jerron Curse kind of guy, and which they have at safety. He's going to play that, and he's going to play inside as well when whichever of their linebackers get hurt, in week three again this year. So that's going to get there. Fehoko, it was an interesting pick for them because, he can play edge, but at 285 pounds, are they going to move him inside? It's going to be interesting to see how they use him. I love Asim Richards. I think that dude is going to play for them because when Tyron Smith gets hurt again, are they going to move Tyler Smith again outside? I hope not. I hope they put in Richards instead at left tackle because I think he can play there, and you got to keep Smith at left guard. I mean, and if they move Richards to left guard, fine. But Richards is like basically the Jamai Sawyer, of this class, and I think he's going to play for him. Eric Scott, I thought, would actually go a little earlier. I know he was liked by teams for his athleticism, length, and all that stuff. So, Deuce Vaughn. I just love Deuce Vaughn. I mean, seventh round, who cares? Jalen Brooks, I don't really get. I would have waited for a free agency on him. But, overall, I thought they did fine. The early picks, I know you're going to rip them. And I can't blame you for it.
Yeah, this was one of my F grades in the draft. And, like, so you're going in early. We knew that they were going to take a tight end pretty early. What surprises me is, like, you mentioned that enormous tight end run in round two, which we knew was coming. And the Cowboys had to know that was coming. And yet at the end of the first round, you end up taking Mazi Smith over the tight, like Mayer, Jatia, Laporta, all those guys. Anyone outside of Dalton Kincaid, you could have had. And instead, you take Mazi Smith there. I thought that was a bit of a reach. And now all of a sudden, you're on the back end of that tight end run. And I thought they pulled Schoonmaker up. Like, I would have preferred, for instance, Tucker Kraft, even Darnell Washington, if your medical team's okay with the foot, that was the reported reason why he fell down. But, like, Schoonmaker, like, he's one of the – in his defense, he's a true inline guy in a class that didn't have as many of those where you can actually count on the blocking from the inline position. And then – we didn't get to see him as much as a receiver at Michigan. They just didn't use him like that, right? Like, I think last year he had like 30 receptions. That was by far the most he had. But, like, he has the frame. He has the athleticism. So in this draft spot, Dallas is clearly banking on, like, we're going to turn him into a receiver, but that's sort of it was a bit of a leap of faith for me. Although, interestingly, Chad, you're going to enjoy my comp for Luke Schoonmaker before the draft. Comped him to Dalton Schultz. And the reason he was drafted here was because Dalton Schultz is out the door and you desperately needed a tight end.
Yep.
Yeah. So, like, just overall, like, they obviously addressed their needs. I just thought they pulled some guys up, so I had to kill them for it.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's move. Speaking of pulling people up.
Speaking of reaching a little bit, yes.
Yeah, that's a professional segue. The Detroit Lions. What did you think of what they did, Chad?
Yeah, I mean, Gibbs and Campbell in the first round, good players, just picked too early, in comparison of value. In the end, they'll always say, well, if they're good players, then it doesn't matter. And of course, we know that's not always true. Sometimes it works, but, over time, you're going to lose if you significantly stray from consensus value on these guys. So, it's funny, Jack Campbell, I wanted to compare him to Leighton Vander Esch but then I didn't want to do that because obviously that pick has not worked out in the first round. So anyway, I just thought they reached there. Laporta, I would have taken Michael Mayer. Brian Branch, great pick. I'm curious to see if Green Bay is going to regret not taking him instead of trading out. Hendon Hooker, absolutely. I knew that the Lions would pick a quarterback in the third round, so that made a lot of sense since he was there. Broderick Martin, they gave up a whole bunch for Broderick Martin, which I didn't understand. But look, I liked him as a fourth-round pick. He's got a lot of potential as an athletic nose, but didn't get it. Colby Sorsdahl, I liked him as a top 150 pick, so that one made a lot of sense to me. That's where I had him in value. And Green, I thought, was a pretty good seventh-round pick, just as a – you know, MVS type deep threat kind of guy that'll give you something, you know, late in the draft. So, you know, later in the draft, they did pretty well, I thought. But, you know, the first three picks, I would have gone another direction.
Yeah, I was ready to destroy Detroit. They were the heavy front runner to get the F after day one for me, one of the two S I gave out. But they did sort of pull up the plane from the nosedive that it was in. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of Sam Laporte. I was banging the drum for him the entire process. Just a broken tackle god at the tight end position, was stranded in this terrible offensive environment, Chad, as you would know as a Big Ten fan. I always had just the most brutal offense the past couple of years. And then I don't understand how Brian Branch fell to 45. Like, how do you get access to a guy like Brian Branch at 45?
Yeah,
especially with a safety class.
I don't know. I just think the workout, they worked him out at the combine with the cornerbacks, which was, you know, terrible because he would have looked a lot better against the other safeties. And he's 190 pounds. Some teams don't want 190 pound safety, but honestly, I'd take that guy any day of the week. I thought for sure like New England or somebody would move up for him. And then it was Detroit that did it. New England West, I guess they're trying to be this year. and like I said, it's going to be interesting to see if Green Bay regrets that move.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I killed him for the Gibbs pick, and I didn't understand why you have this. Like, they're sitting in the sixth slot, right? And everyone is saying Atlanta loves Bijan. Atlanta loves Bijan. Two spots behind you, and if you're like, you know, the idea of taking Gibbs, it seems like they were sitting dead right on taking the running back. Why don't you just stay in the sixth slot and take Bijan? And I know in that trade down, they acquired the pick where they got Sam Laporta. And like I said, I love Sam Laporta, but would you rather have Bijan or would you rather have Gibbs and Laporta? And you could have had, in my opinion, more than Gibbs and Laporta by trading down if that's what you wanted to do. They said they weren't getting any offers for the Jack Campbell pick, but like if that's true and there was no market for any of the picks in the late teens and the 20s, well, Detroit, you've picked up the 34th pick. You have an enormous amount of draft equity later. Why aren't you being the one that's trading up for one of those picks then? They can't claim there was nothing else they could have done. I don't believe that. Whether it was trading down, if that's not there, trade up. You have one of the highest picks in the second round. But, like, I disagreed with the first round, although I love Jack Campbell, but, you know, he was 36th on my board. But, like, he's going to be a great NFL linebacker.
They had second round picks where they could have got him. I mean, and if Dallas like goes with another linebacker again, look, he's an off the ball linebacker. I like Jack Campbell as much as the next guy, but look, he's an off the ball linebacker. You can get those guys later in the draft. This is not, you know, he's not going to be superstar Ray Lewis. You know, that's just not what he is. He's a really good player. But, you know, I think you wait on the off-the-ball guy. Lord knows they could use, like, Kalijah Kancey. They could use – I mean, there's a bunch of different guys they could have taken at that spot and improve that team. So, anyway, yeah,
for I agree. Sure. Yep. Yeah, no, but it's interesting because, like, so I love Brian Branch. I had him 13th overall on my board. Like, I don't care about the size thing because he comes up and he helps against the run, like, no problem, right? Like, he has no fear coming down. And he doesn't miss tackles over crazy volume. He's one of the most reliable tacklers we've seen from the DB position come out in years and years and years.
He was the best player on that. He was the best player on that defense, and it had Will Anderson on it. So like he was the best. He was a first round player with a second round workout and or a third round workout, and he went in the second round. And I projected that all the way until the end because I knew he would be a second round pick, and it's a lot of second round safeties turn out to be pretty good. And I think he's going to be one of them.
I ended up giving them a C because I thought they salvaged the value later on. Like if you just switch Brian Branch and the Jahmyr Gibbs slot, it jives on my board. Cause it's funny. Cause they took Gibbs 12. I have Branch 13. I had Jahmyr Gibbs 45. They took Brian Branch in the 45th slot.
So that argument, and I've made that same argument over time and I slapped myself for it afterwards because you can't assume that these other dudes are just going to fall into your lap. So when you jump the board like that, you may get lucky and another one of your guys falls into your lap, but like you can't live on that, you know, you just can't. So
They whether it was trading down, whether it was waiting until 18 on Gibbs, or, you know, whether it was going the other way, trading up. I totally agree with that. I didn't understand the wonkiness in day one, but I did think that they, like I said, improved on day two and three quite a bit.
Yeah. Let's talk about your favorite team now. Now
we're going to get fun. We're going to kick it to the Wisconsin based Chad Ryder to talk about the Green Bay Packers draft. Chad, what did you think about what the Packers did?
Well, it just made me so happy to see them pick five pass catchers, because, you know, somewhere in a room, Aaron Rodgers is like, why? They picked three receivers three times with Rodgers on the roster. So it's not like they didn't try to give this guy receivers, but it was just kind of funny. They used three day two picks. And look, I liked, you know, this is one of those situations where they took Jaden Reed at 50, who I would have taken at 78, and then I would have taken Tucker Kraft at 50, you know, it's like we were just talking about. So in the end, the three guys they got on day two were great. I love Lucas Van Ness. I think he's going to be a stud. I do too. So, you know, I, you know, great job there. Colby Wooden is a perfect fit as a five technique. He's not a base end, but as a five technique, that's where he belongs, and that's why they got him. So that made a lot of sense to me. Same with Carl Brooks from Bowling Green, a guy that I think fits there. I'd rather not talk about the Sean Clifford or Anders Carlson pick, but Anthony Johnson Jr. in the seventh round, that dude may start. He may start for them. And I think that's going to be one of those Cameron Curl kind of picks that people are like, oh, they got him in the seventh round, huh? I mean, so I like that pick a lot, but, yeah, I know you're going to talk about Clifford and Carlson, so go ahead.
Well, I did, Chad. This is so. I will say, I actually gave the Packers the highest draft grade in the NFC North. So that it was a C-. That division did not draft very well this year. But they had sort of the bizarro Detroit Lions draft, where, like, I thought the Packers did great in round one. Lucas Van Ness was absolutely worth that slot. I had him 11th on my board. Round two, I didn't really know what they were doing with those first two picks. Musgrave, I thought, was overrated. It's just based on traits and the bloodlines. Like, we just haven't seen it. Like, he started like 13 times in college, and maybe he would have had the breakout season last year. The first two games were good, but then he gets hurt again. Durability is another problem with that kid, but he does have the athleticism, and I do like his game downfield, but he's not going to block for you. He doesn't create separation in the intermediate area, and he doesn't break tackles. So we'll have to see about that. And it was funny, like, when they took him, I was like, you idiots, there's a better receiving tight end on the board, and you took Musgrave over him. And then they get that guy 36 picks later with Tucker Kraft. I think Tucker Kraft's going to have a better career for the Packers than Musgrave does. Jaden Reed, I didn't get that pick. Like, I know he had fans in the draft community, but, like, it felt like he gets pulled way up just because this receiver class stunk. And just in comparison to the other guys, and the Packers were like, we got to take a receiver here. We got to help out Jordan Love. But it just felt like reaching up a little bit for him. We'll see if I'm proven wrong on that.
Yeah, and I think he's a guy, honestly, I liked him, again, more than the guys that got pulled up in the mid-second last year. And I think he played at Michigan State. Okay. I mean, let's put that guy on a team that has, you know, a really good quarterback. And I think you would have seen like an Elijah Moore kind of situation. I think you would have seen a lot more from him, because I think after that ball's in his hands, he is amazing. He is amazing after the catch. So for the Packers, especially looking for a slot, I think that guy is going to really fill that bill for him. So like I said, I probably would have gone third round on him, but I understand it a little bit more. Then, like I said, like last year, some of the guys that got pulled up.
Chad, let's put him on a team with Sean Clifford.
I knew Sean Clifford would get drafted. I did. I knew it, because he's got all the things that teams look for in that backup quarterback, and it happens every year. The Trace McSorleys, all these guys that get picked. And then there was that big run. And I think he was only a fifth round pick because of the big run in rounds four and five. Otherwise, he would have been a sixth or seven. They needed to draft a quarterback. I mean, there's no other way around it. They had to draft a quarterback. He was what was left. And they just got to hope they can get him to find the broadside of a barn more consistently and become the best of what he can become. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, at least one coaching staff thinks he's better than Will Levis, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah.
moving to the Los Angeles Rams, they didn't have a ton of draft equity, Jack, because of previous trades. What do you think about what they did with what they had?
Well, they made the trades down that they needed to. And I think that was key for them because they just have no, I have an article coming out in a couple of weeks about day three starters. And like three of these guys at least are going to be starting for them, you know, because they just don't have bodies at a lot of positions. So the draft class is going to look great because they're going to have a lot of games played and a lot of starts. But you know, it's kind of strange to me that they started with an offensive lineman, nothing against Steel Avila. I mean, he's a fine player, but I thought that was a little odd, but the value there, that's fine. I guess I'm an offensive line guy. So if you want to start there, fine. They got the edge rushers they needed. Byron Young, Nick Campkin, Hampton could both be their starters this year.
Yeah.
Stetson Bennett is probably going to play this year because Matt Stafford, two of the last 4 years, you know, he's missed time. So Stetson Bennett's going to play and I'm going to really enjoy seeing what he can do because it's going to be a lot of fun. Davis Allen, not a great athlete, but you know, solid tight end pick. Puka Nacua, I think, is one of the more underrated players in this class. I was very glad to see him. And I think he's going to be one of these guys that's going to start for them by the end of the year. I really like him. Zach Evans is much third round talent, but there are so many questions about him that getting him in the six and Cam Akers better stay out of the doghouse because this dude's going to take his job. Otherwise, I think Zach Evans is going to be a good player for him. I'm not going to get into Ethan Evans, you know, good for him that he got drafted. Jason Taylor, I thought was a really good value late. I like him as a safety. I think he's a good player. So overall, I thought they did pretty well and they made the moves to get the depth that they needed. So that's really what they did. And the funny part is like the 2024 draft, if they have another poor year and they actually have some picks, these guys are going to end up backing up the next draft class or two. But it's going to build good depth. I mean, you know, in a couple of years, this team is going to be pretty built because they did decent with the picks that they had.
Yeah, I thought, you know, it seemed like their strategy was sort of to buy the higher floors as opposed to use all these picks to just shoot them. But, you know, later on when you're shooting the moon on athletic traits, very low chance of hitting. They obviously know what their roster situation is, what it is. And so they bought guys that they knew could hang on the roster. And I agree with you. They have this enormous class of these late round guys. I think most of them are making the team.
Yeah, for sure.
They just are. Like, their roster is going to be heavily comprised of guys from this draft class. I was lower on Zach Evans than most in the media, but, like, where they got him, that's a good value, like, objectively. Yeah. Like, he was a five-star kid. Like, right. And he, you know, he played throughout his career, et cetera. I totally agree with you on Jason Taylor. Felt like that was a steal late. Totally agree with you on Puka Nacua. I thought he was one of the more undervalued receivers, and he can do so many different things. And it's funny when they call Puka Nacua, you know, like I always love watching I'm a sucker for this stuff, but like I love watching it when they put on Twitter when the coaches and the GM call, and then they're like talking to the guy like right when they're about to draft him. And like you could tell the Rams were jacked to get Puka Nacua where they did, and their receiver coach specifically looked like he was over the moon. Like it looked like one of his, you know, his first child had just been born. And he was telling Puka, like, we're going to use you in all these different ways. And, you know, yada, yada. It's like they understood. I comp Puka Nacua to discount D-ball. Like, obviously, he doesn't have the athletic profile as D-ball, but like the ways that he can win different spots of the alignment, but also the things he can do there. Right.
He runs through contact. He's not the fastest guy. That's why he's a day three guy. Cause he's not the fastest guy, but he's very tough runner. He's agile. He has the vision to make things happen in the open field. And so, yeah, he's really going to be a fun guy to watch. And look, you know, Ben Skowronek, I mean, is that who's going to start for him all year? I don't think so. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what he can do.
I totally agreed. Yeah. So I give the Rams C-. And before we get to our favorite team in the NFC North, Chad, level up your game with the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Draft Kit at fantasypros.com/dynasty. You'll get Dynasty Startup and Rookie Rankings, Trade Targets, Position Primers, and in-depth rookie analysis for free. Premium subscribers can view exclusive strategy articles and enter our vibrant Discord community, which provides direct access to analysts through AMAs and stages. Don't miss out. Visit fantasypros.com/dynasty today and build your winning dynasty team. All right, Chad, let's get to the show. This is the reason everyone's tuning in. Chad, what do you think about what the Vikings did?
They did all right. I think I like some of their guys. I thought they got good value in some spots. You know, Jordan Addison at 23, I'll take that all day long. They needed it badly. I saw you on Twitter, Thor, thumping the table for receiver in the first round, and people gave you a hard time about it, but I was on board with you in that. And just because the corner market was not great and the value was much better at Addison. So, you had to make that pick. I think, getting Blackmon in the third round, I like him, you know, and a lot of people,
me too.
He's not big. He's not the fastest. Where he just covers dudes and he just sticks to them and he can make the play when the ball comes. So again, that's what the job is. So I thought they did well. Jay Ward, I think for them, they could use a guy like that, a versatile defensive back. So for them, a little higher than I would have taken him, but I get it for them. Jacquen Roy, look, I could have easily seen him going late third round easily. Just because he's one of these guys, it isn't going to be a great pass rusher, but he can do enough to disrupt offensive lines. And he plays with great leverage, even though he's not the biggest or even the shortest guy on there. So I think in the fifth, that was a good pick. Jaren Hall has a lot of starter traits. I think he's among the developmental guys in this group. I liked him probably the most. Maybe the most. And, you know, he's got stuff to work on, but that's why he's a day three pick. And McBride, you know, in the seventh, I don't know much more value you can add for at that position with all the questions about Dalvin Cook and, you know, Madison coming back. I know. But, look, in the seventh, I thought that was a really good pick. So,
yeah. So, I you know, I had to break the hearts of the Vikings fans and give my Vikings a D+. I do agree that early on, I liked what they did. And with Addison, so I had Addison 30th on my board. There was some cornerbacks that I had higher than that. Joey Porter, significantly higher than that, and Deontay Banks. But, like, it's not in a vacuum. No draft decision is in the vacuum decision. And, like, I thought they made the correct three-dimensional decision by, you know, there's the four consensus wide receivers. The three have just gone ahead of you, and there's one left. And after that, the receiver class drops off a shelf, whereas the cornerback class, it was one of the deepest, if not the deepest position in this entire draft. The Vikings knew they didn't have a second-round pick. You have to wait till the third round. They want that starter across from Justin Jefferson to disincentivize defenses from bracketing and doubling Jefferson every single time. In the third round, you're not going to get that guy. Right. Yeah. Like A.T. Perry would probably have been your best option for that at that point. So it's like, would you rather have Joey Porter and A.T. Perry or Jordan Addison and Mekhi Blackmon? In terms of that, I thought they made the correct decision. Day three was where I disagreed with them. Jay Ward, is he versatile or is he a tweener? It's a very fine line with him. Is any of the different things he does, is it ever going to be the best on your roster at that specific thing? That was my question with him. Like, we got to start there. Right. Like if we're going to start him as a nickel, he got to be the best nickel on the roster. Right. Or he's got to, you know, he's got to do something better than everybody else, or else he's just like, you know, always going to be sort of in this tweener land. And he needs to figure out where he can cover, like which spot in the alignment is he going to be good in coverage? I love his aggression. I love how he comes up and sticks people in the run game, but in coverage, he struggled throughout, no matter where they put him. And so in the NFL, like, I think maybe if you try him just in one spot and like, Jay Ward, we're going to develop you here. And then if he can cover that spot, whether that's a nickel, whether that's deep, then the rest of it, then you can move him if you want after that point.
If he was a day two pick, I agree with you. Like if you're a day two pick and you're not sure about that, but then a day three pick, a guy like that, I mean, I get it a little bit more. It's not, again, I thought he'd go a little bit later than that too. So I get you.
Yeah. And the Jack, it's the Vikings press team put it out that it's like Jaquelin. So I've been mispronouncing his first name for years, but I don't even remember how the real one. So I just got to call him Jaquelin. Jaquelin Roy is really interesting, where if he just reverts to the 2021 Jaquelin Roy,
right,
this is a really good pick. And he hurt himself by declaring after his true junior season, which was way down. Right. If he had gone back to LSU and then he'd just been like he was in 2021, he would have been a day two pick. But like, so the Viking, you know, theoretically you get a discount on him, but like, can he bounce back to that? We'll see. I liked how you set that up with him. Like the pass rushing thing, he needs to learn more moves. He needs to have a different plan, because it's the same thing as with him in the run. He's just coming forward and you love the power. Like he might have the most powerful, or maybe not the most, but like t- top three, top five most powerful hands in this interior defensive line class. Like, it's not just with the offensive lineman controlling them and then shedding. When he gets any sort of jersey of the ball carrier, doesn't even matter if it's just like a threat of it, you're coming back with him.
Yeah, it's an ankle or whatever. It doesn't matter. He's bringing you down. And again, for what, if the Vikings are using him, you know, on the one technique or on the nose or whatever, you know, and he's a really active nose, he'll be a really active nose for them. So, I think that's a good fit for them.
Yeah, and needed one with Delvin Tomlinson heading out the door. Next one, Chad, New Orleans Saints. What'd you think about what they did?
The Saints did an okay job. There's a injury risk with Breezy in the first round. I had to include the bad trade from last year where they gave up a future first in order to get a mid-round pick last year. I don't understand that move. Still don't understand that move. So didn't understand that. Foskey is, you know, it is going to be interesting to see if Keon White is actually a better NFL player than Foskey. Because I think that's a real question mark. And then Breezy kind of reminds me of Taven Bryan. So I don't know about that pick. But Condre Miller, I think, could turn into something for them. And certainly they needed to get a running back given the Kamara situation. Saldivari, I loved in the fourth round. He's going to play this year because, you know, Pete or Ruiz is going to get hurt again. And they needed a guard. And I think he can be a pretty good guard for him. Hayner was like the perfect David Carr, Derek Carr, excuse me, backup. So that pick, I saw that coming.
Fresno State, baby.
Yeah, your Howden pick in Minnesota. I knew you'd be happy about that. A.T. Perry is very inconsistent. I thought he would be more this year. He just didn't turn out to be more. And so later in the draft, that's fine. But, you know, I wasn't as huge of a fan as he could be. If he figures it out, turns it back on again like he did a couple of years ago, then maybe he, you know, that becomes a really good pick.
Yeah, I give them a C. Breezy, you know, obviously, or Breezy. Breezy is going to inform how good this class is. And you can go either way with that. Like, he was this awesome recruit coming out. He played well as a true freshman. He's had all the injuries and the health problems ever since. Was hard to get on the field and stay on the field, whatnot. When he's fully healthy, he puts pressure on the quarterback and he gets into the backfield, whatnot. But his profile reminded me a little bit of Jerry Tillery. But I had him 29th on my board, and they took him 29th, so I'm not going to kill him for that. I thought they reached a little bit for Kendre Miller in terms of the depth of this running back class, but, you know, I'm not going to kill him too bad for that. But I love the Saldivari pick with the first pick of Saturday. Also like the Jay Kaner pick in terms of, like you're mentioning, the guy that will hold the clipboard initially, but if you have disaster with the injuries, he can come in and move your offense.
He's, you know, look, these guys give the ball away. These guys took Ian Book in the fourth round, you know.
This is a way better pick than Ian Book.
Relatively speaking, that was like an A-plus move for them.
Very true. And Jay Kaner tested in that S2 thing the NFL cares about, just like Brock Purdy did. He has about the same physical dimensions. Moving to a team that I thought did a better job in this draft, the New York Giants. What did you think about them, Chad?
I thought they did well. You know, they're in my A group. I think Banks was he's a fluid mover. He's got some work to do in his technique. He's got to be more consistent, but they hope they can turn him into something. I wasn't as high on him as some. You could have put John Michael Schmitz into Giants before the draft, you know, or Tittman, whoever was available. So that pick made a lot of sense, obviously. Hyatt. A lot of issues with Hyatt's game, understandably. You know, teams were not buying the Volunteers offense, obviously, in this draft. But look, his ability to get downfield is something that several teams in this draft could have used. And he can do that in that role. I think he could be pretty good. So I understood that pick as well. So and then Eric Gray, solid pick. And Tre'Davious Owens, I really thought coming out of Houston, I thought he could have been a fourth or fifth rounder. So that was good value to me. Ryden and Hawkins are fine. Nothing special, I don't think. But that's why they're picked late. So
I like the Giants' discipline in this draft. We all knew that they needed a wide receiver pretty bad, but the circumstances happened what they did. The four consensus guys go right in front of them. Some teams will panic at that point. Take Jonathan Mingo or, you know, yank someone way up the board. They didn't. right? Like they knew
that somebody would. I thought somebody would panic and take Hyatt. I really did, and I'm very glad I was wrong that they didn't panic on Levis, or they didn't take Levis as early as I thought somebody would, and they didn't take Hyatt as early as I thought somebody would. So good for teams for having that discipline.
For sure. And with the job, so you take the value in the first round with Deontay Banks. And then in the second round, they didn't pull up for a receiver either. They filled one of their other enormous holes with John Michael Schmitz, who they were connected with all through the process. If they'd taken him at 24, no one would have batted an eye. He falls down to him in the second round. You wait till the third round to take the receiver. I was a little bit lower on Jalen Hyde for the context that you already gave, but in the third round for a receiver desperate team, I'm okay scratching that itch at that point. Also thought Eric Gray was a really solid pick. He's a guy that grows on you more that you watch him. Not the biggest, not the most athletic, but he has that really well-rounded skill set. I comp him to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who a couple processes ago, erroneously, but still was a first round pick.
Yeah. Yep. Agree.
So the next team, and it hates me, the NFL let him do it again, but I thought the Philadelphia Eagles had one of the best draft classes in the NFL again this year. What do you think, Chad?
Yeah, I thought they had the second best draft. And the only reason I docked them a little bit on the first round is there is risk taking Jalen Carter in the top 10. There just is. You can't get around that. And is he super talented? Yes. Yes. Did I think he would go out of the top 10? No, there was no chance he was leaving the top 10, but you just have to be aware of that risk. And that's really the only reason to do grades at this point, is really to evaluate at the time what everybody thought, who knows what they're talking about, thought about these players at the time. So you can go back in 3 years and say, okay, why did we miss on that evaluation? It's not like this guy is going to be awesome, this guy is going to suck, none of that. It's really about the team. You know, a lot of people will say that's like grading a draft is like, giving an exam on the first day of school. I'm like, no, these draft grades are grading the teams, not the players. So so Carter, yes, some risk there, obviously talented. Nolan Smith at 30, great pick. I teams didn't like his size for an edge player. I wouldn't care about that at all. I would say I play him off the ball. I play him on the edge. I move him around. If teams haven't figured out what the Cowboys have done with Micah Parsons by now, and the Eagles with Hassan Reddick, by the way, also, that's on them. So I thought that was a good value. I love Sidney Brown. Thought he would be a second round pick. I think he's going to be this year's, sub 5'10 safety who just goes up and beats up on people and is just a solid player, makes the tackles, a really good. Tyler Steen is going to play guard for him, could shift out to tackle. Thought that was another really solid pick. Keely Ringo in the fourth round. I don't even care that they gave up. They gave up a fourth round next year, not a third round next year, if I remember correctly. And that's, that makes more sense to me than doing this. Let's trade up around to get a guy. I think they did the good job by doing a seventh round and then giving up the future fourth. And I think that made more sense for a guy like that. They picked a quarterback, which, every team should do that. No matter what, even if you just signed your quarterback to a big deal, get another quarterback. And Ajomo at the end of the run, he's going to be a three tech for him. He could have easily gone in the fourth or fifth round. So really good value there.
Yeah. I like Ajomo. He's one of the, I like those guys who have the unorthodox builds, and Ajomo. Yeah. He's a little bit on the smaller side, but he has those crazy long arms. Right.
Well, three tech. Yeah. And for this team in particular, Milton Williams, all these guys, that just fits their scheme.
1,000%. And we knew they loved Jalen Carter. They were able to get Jalen Carter for a very cheap price, in terms of the trade up with Chicago. Mm-hmm. Chicago obviously wanted to stay in the top 10, grab the tackle they like. We also knew the Eagles loved Nolan Smith. He just falls right into their lap. And then the value picks just kept coming after that, including even outside of picking. They were able to buy low on DeAndre Swift, who the Lions had just tanked his draft value a couple of days before by taking Jahmyr Gibbs at 12. Everyone knew they wanted to get rid of him. Roseman's like, hey, come on down, and we'll give you a future day three pick.
You said, man, I it's amazing to me how teams just keep feeding the beast in Philadelphia. And look, not every move that Howie's made, I'll just say the words Jalen Reagor. It doesn't always go their way, but when you hit on the quarterback, this is why you take quarterbacks every other year at least.
Yeah.
Because when you hit on that guy, it covers up so many mistakes and it allows you to do so many different things. When you've got that in place, you could take risks or you can trade back and accumulate picks and just see who turns out. I mean, that opens up so many possibilities for you. So they're taking advantage of it right now in Philly.
They are. Yeah. So I ended up giving Philly an A plus. I usually only give out two A pluses, but like I had the two that it was the Colts. Well, spoiler alert, but the Colts and the Steelers, and I had the Eagles at an A, but it's like, man, they destroyed it this year. Like I just couldn't find any reason to quibble. So I had to bump them up to an A plus. But now that we've praised the team in the NFC, we're about to go the other direction the San Francisco 49ers. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, Jeff? One of my least favorite drafts. Well, first of all, you know, you have to account for the Trey Lance trade, which doesn't look like much right now, but we'll see. There's still time on that. I can't blame them for using the picks on Christian McCaffrey, though. I really can't. He's going to be good for them. He was good for them already. So good. Jair Brown, I thought was okay. I knew he'd be a third round pick. He's not Jaquan Brisker in terms of an athlete, but he's a solid player and you know, maybe he'll start for him. Moody in the third round, didn't get it. Don't understand it. Moody was my favorite kicker in this group, but you know, fifth round is where I would have taken him at best. Cameron Latu overrated a little bit or taken too early because of the tight end runs. That was a reach down the board a little bit. D Winners might be my favorite pick of this in the sixth round, to be honest. And Ronnie Bell is a tough guy. I would never bet against Ronnie Bell. So, you know, grabbing him before he becomes a free agent makes sense. So overall, probably one of my least favorite drafts.
Yeah, me too. I gave the 49ers an F, and it wasn't because of the lack of equity. Like there's other teams that had lack of equity that I gave solid grades to because they were picking good guys in their slots or good values. The 49ers didn't. And it seems like they were just making luxury picks more or less. Like the Moody pick, like you mentioned, no one else thought he was going to go like on day two, maybe a fourth round guy. If they hadn't, maybe he falls to the fifth, like you mentioned, but they pull up for him. Latu, it seemed like that's both the tight end run, like you said, but also that the 49ers really valued the cognitive test, whatnot. Latu was one of the highest tight end scorers on the S2, whatnot. But on the field, like we've seen that kid plenty. I don't know. I just didn't, you know, I just thought he's sort of a mediocre talent. You brought up both the names on day three, the two picks that I liked. I didn't like the rest of them, but I thought D Winters was a solid value. I thought Ronnie Bell was a solid value, but they made, they made six picks on day three. The rest of them could have left. So they got one of my F grades this year. Move into another team in their division that did a little bit of a better job. They had way more draft equity, but I thought they did a better job with the picks that they made. Seattle Seahawks, Chad, what did you think about them?
They got the top. You can argue the top. I might have gone Christian Gonzalez over Witherspoon, but that's me. But regardless, a cornerback that they needed desperately in Witherspoon, Smith and Jigba is going to be the best receiver in the class, I think. So I think that was a good pick. I figured somebody might trade into that 20 spot to take him if Seattle didn't take him. So he went right where I thought he would end up in the end. And Derek Hall, I thought it was a little bit of a push up the board. But you know, he's not a good player. Obviously he is, but I thought he was more of a third round value, late second, early third. Charbonnet, I like Zach Charbonnet as a runner, but the team taking running backs back-to-back second rounds, I didn't understand that at all. My favorite picks were the next two, Anthony Bradford, who I think could start at guard for them this year. I was a little surprised he didn't go in third round, and Cameron Young in fourth round. They needed to bulk up that defensive line. He's going to play. He's going to potentially start. I mean, they may re-sign Al Woods, and he may end up starting, but Young is going to be a perfect fit for them. I really think so. Those were the two guys that I really liked in that draft. And honestly, if Kenny McIntosh, look, there's a lot of things about Kenny McIntosh's game. He's not a great athlete and all that stuff. But if you're asking me who the better, Kenny McIntosh in the seventh round, I mean, if they would have not taken Charbonnet and done something else and taken Kenny McIntosh and another guy on day two, I would have, I think, appreciated that more.
1000%. Yeah. So I love Devin Witherspoon. I had him as a top three defender, overall in this class. So I'm cool with them taking him, being bullish there. Love the Jackson Smith and Jigba pick. Seattle, they have the two really good boundary receivers. They needed a slot. Dwayne Eskridge has not panned out. And now you got that, right? So now you're souped up on offense, everything like that. I agree with you. They pulled Hall a little up the board. They might have gotten skittish because of that edge run. Maybe if it's me, like, you know, whether it's that pick or the Charbonnet pick, like, you got to look at the interior line. I would have, John Michael Schmitz was right out there. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, for me, that's the direction I would have gone with one of those picks. Charbonnet, I agree with you. I love Zach Charbonnet. I ranked him slightly ahead of Jahmyr Gibbs on my overall, you know, rankings, whatever. But, like, it's just weird that Seattle took him. And then they explain, like, on Friday night after the draft's done, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, we had to improve our screen game. And it's like, well, yeah, Zach Charbonnet is certainly a better in the pass game than Kenneth Walker is. But it's like, you're not going to take that guy in the second round for the screen game. And then they took the screen game running back with the pick 237, the aforementioned Kenny McIntosh. So I don't know what they're doing at the running back position. I do love the player.
Part of me wonders if there's not more to the Kenneth Walker situation than they're letting on if they're doing that. So, I mean, that could be the thing. And if that turns out to be the case, then we'll see that. But yeah,
it was very interesting. Yeah.
By the way, on the interior offensive line,
yeah,
I thought there was some reaching going on in late day two and early day, late day two especially, at center. And the fact that they got Oluwatimi when they did, to play center, you know, him and Bradford, they played two star rookie tackles last year, and they may play two rookies on the interior line this year. So
maybe,
You know, I think that turned out for him pretty well.
Yeah. Oluwatimi was awesome in college at two different conferences over years.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I mean, like, I know he's a little bit on the smaller side. He's not like the most powerful pivot, but like super smart, super reliable, doesn't blow blocks. And Bradford, I totally agree with you. Like, I had Bradford 104 on my board, just a little bit above the slot that they took him in. Fabulous athlete, like one of the best athletes of the interior line class. So absolutely worth the dart throw there. I ended up giving Seattle a C+ in my grades. Chad, moving on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What'd you think about their class?
I love Clyde Jakansi. I'm not going to apologize for it. I really love that dude. I think he's not Aaron Donald, but I don't care. I if he's Jonathan Allen, then he's pretty damn good as far as I'm concerned. So I liked him. Cody Mock to me is first round pick all day. Teams totally slept on him. So I like him as a guard. I think he can play tackle too. I don't care about his arm length at all. I think he's a guy that's going to step in for them immediately and contribute. And, you know, even if the left tackle situation gets a little murky nowadays, I think they can play Mock at left tackle. I really do. So I thought that was a great pick. Diaby was okay. I mean, I think they needed an edge, maybe a little early. A little bit of a project there, but he's got potential. Dennis, a typical Tampa Bay undersized aggressive linebacker. Payne Durham. Payne Durham is one of these guys. He's very Cameron Brate. I mean, he's very Cameron Brate. So I think for what they wanted, the athleticism, lack of athleticism doesn't matter. Trey Palmer, if he catches the ball, great. You know, you take a chance on him. Like, again, like Valdez Scantling coming out, if he figures out how to catch the ball, then, you know, you might have something later. And then you got to love Jose Ramirez. Shout out to the Highlander movie fans out there with Ramirez. I love that dude as an edge, you know, late round edge who's going to come out, designated pass rusher, and then, you know, see what happens after that.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I'm a big fan of Canty. I thought that's a solid slot to take him. Cody Mock, one of my favorite offensive linemen in this class, like awesome athlete, the play attitude, like the way he plays the game, whatnot. Like, how can you disrespect that?
I like him better than Trevor Penning. I've liked him better all year than I like Trevor Penning. So like, I don't get the second round stuff, but anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Like I had Mock 33rd on my board. I comped him to Cole Strange because I do think he's kicking inside, but like Cole Strange obviously was a first round pick. So yeah, like I like Tampa's class. I gave them a B-. I like the late rounders too. The Flyers, like you're totally right with Trey Palmer. He's this Ferrari of an athlete, but like the ball skills aren't there. He reminds me so much of Jalen Reagor coming out of TCU. But Reagor, they take him, what was 21st pick or whatever that year.
Yeah.
Like with the price point that you get Trey Palmer 191, like, yeah, I mean, if it works out, it works out. If not, who cares? And then Jose Ramirez was super productive at Eastern Michigan. And he also has the agility. Obviously, he's unorthodox, a little bit smaller, but you just see what you got there. Chad, last but not least, let's hit the Washington Commanders as we close out the NFC. not as good of a class on the way that I've seen it, but what'd you think of what Washington did?
Yeah, I mean, Emmanuel Forbes, I have issues when you take a cornerback based on interceptions because interceptions are fickle.
Yeah.
A lot of interceptions. He did a great job grabbing the ball when it was tipped and all that stuff, but look, that's not going to happen all the time in the NFL. And so 166 pound, who had to work himself up to 166 pounds, by the way, is kind of worrisome to me. It didn't bother me with Devontae Smith coming out of, you know, as a receiver because, he's fine. And the thing about Forbes is he's tough. It's not like he's contact shy. He's tough. So that was higher than I would have taken him. Jartavius Martin, fine. Stromberg, one of these guys that got pulled up a little bit, I think, in this draft at the center position. Braden Daniels actually was a better value, I think. I think he's the injury kind of kept him under the radar, so I would have rather taken him in the late third. Same with KJ Henry. I would have taken him a little bit later, even though he's not, you know, elite by any stretch. But I think he gives you enough versatility. He can stand up. He can go down. I think he's a guy that could contribute for them this year. Andre Jones, they had to get another edge rusher too because they're just lacking people there. And Rodriguez is a battering ram. So overall, not the best. He was in probably among the bottom third or so of the drafts this year.
That's certainly where I had him. Washington got a D- in my grades. I'm okay liking Emmanuel Forbes. I'm okay being bullish on that. But you're totally right. Like, the interception number was fluky. Four of the six interceptions he had last year were on reps he was beaten. Whether the receiver fell down, whether the ball clanged off the receiver's hands and just popped into the air, all of them were flukes. The four of the six were flukes, whatnot. And so, you know, you have the ball production, but he's on the smaller side. I know he has the length and the athleticism to help mitigate it. I like the way he plays the game, but it's, just in a vacuum of reach, but I thought it became even more egregious because of the circumstances. Washington just didn't read the room. Tight ends and cornerbacks and the NFL, looking at how deep those classes were, they artificially deflated the value of every tight end and cornerback who had a first round grade. If their name wasn't Devin Witherspoon, the rest of those guys got pushed down because teams that were making the decision in the moment, they're like, we're just going to take one of these other positions we have a need at in the first round, and we'll save tight end and cornerback till day two because we know that we're going to get an immediate starter there because of how good these classes are. And Washington,
and is he going to be better than Joey Porter? I don't know.
Man. I don't think so.
I don't know. So
I don't think so. I wouldn't have taken those two, straight up. I certainly would have taken Joey Porter, but especially when you know the context of and you already know it, right? Because Christian Gonzalez is falling down the board. Porter's falling down the board. Banks is falling down the board. It's not like they were picking second and they didn't know it was going to go down. They didn't gauge it in advance. And then they just didn't watch what was right in front of their eyes. And at 16, you reach for Emmanuel Forbes where they could have taken him later. Especially when you know the circumstances, they could have traded down to the end of that round at least and gotten him. So I question that one. I like Quan Martin, but they pulled up for him too. They pulled up for Stromberg, like you were mentioning. I did really like the Braden Daniels pick. He's for a tackle, he's a little bit on the smaller side, but he has the athleticism. He's got traits. He's got versatility.
Played guard. It's not like he hasn't played guard. So, I mean, that's where, honestly, they could have taken Cam Smith in the second round with their second round pick. I mean,
100%.
Right. So it's not, I didn't.
Speaking of the depth of these classes and not sort of circumstantially getting it, they needed a tight end, in my opinion. And this is one of the deepest tight end classes that we've seen in years and years and years. They didn't use any pick on a tight end. It's guys, come on. What are these picks? You can't use a pick on a tight end.
Yeah. But it's interesting with that because, I just want to see because, it's funny. I thought they kind of needed a tight end coming in, but I think who's interesting on their roster is Armani Rogers. And
Ohio, the Bobcats. Yeah,
if you think that guy is going to become a number two guy and you've got Bates and Turner as your number three guys, then I can get it a little bit more. I kind of backed off that a little bit in the end because, a lot of I don't know. I think we've been talking ourselves that this is a great tight end class. This is a great tight end class. And then in the end, you start comparing these guys with some of the other prospects that are, the the younger guys in the league that are already on rosters. And maybe, you know, maybe we're better off staying with the guys that we have on our roster that we know, instead of taking that, you know, guy on day three. Obviously I'm not talking about Michael Mayer and Kincaid and those guys, but so anyway, I thought about that and then I just kind of backed off that a little bit. So yeah, they probably like the guys they got as day three guys. So I get it.
Yeah, they love those position converts at tight end. Maybe they should have tried to sign harder Cephas Johnson in the UDFAs and then bulk them up a little bit and become a tight end or something like that. But Chad, this was a lot of fun. That's all the time that we have for today. For my buddy Chad Ryder of NFL.com, I am Thorne Eichstrom. Thank you for being with us and tune in later this week as I run through the AFC draft grades with another special guest.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.